Great talk. Good talk. At times, so-so talk, but Martin has said we've never had a so-so talk.
We had no talk. I couldn't get a hold of Dan. I thought I was getting ghosted.
No.
I thought I was ghosted. You had stuff going on. You didn't get back to me. It's okay. It happens.
I've taken on something I never thought I would ever do in my life. I love to fish. I love to fish. You tell me we can go fishing, I'm going to go fish. Now I enjoy getting in a deer stand and hunting. That doesn't mean I'm actually going to kill anything and harvest a deer. I just like going in the deer stand and sleeping.
I was
going
to say, are you napping up there?
Yes. That's what I like to do.
Well, I was just at an event the other night, and one of the guys said he'd been deer hunting, and I said, what do you do? He said, honestly, a lot of it is just peaceful, just sitting in that deer stand. He said, it clears my head. He's a lawyer, and he said, I'm up there. I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm like, well, I'll come to the deer stand. I'll probably bring a cooler and a pillow, and I won't bring a gun. I'll just sit up there.
I sit up there, especially when it's bow hunting season, so it's warmer. And no cell phones, obviously. Some guys have cell phones because they video themselves or they video, you know, wildlife walking through and stuff. I don't do that. I just go up there and I nap. That's pretty much what I do. Although this weekend it was tough to nap because it was so cold. Man, it was cold.
A little chilly up there.
It was really cold.
Good chance to get away, though. Dan, did you clear your head? Do you feel better?
I feel great. I didn't get sick. I was with some buddies, though. Everybody's sick.
You sound
like hell.
I had it last week, so I canceled first. I should point that out.
You canceled Great Talk first.
Last week.
Yep.
Was losing my voice, and like a day later, I felt fine. So my wife said, you're probably not fine. I said, I feel fine. So then like a couple days later, I was kind of sick again. Then I felt fine. Back out on the town, you know, Dan, chasing the night.
Yeah.
Not really. But all of a sudden now, it's back, just kind of a hint of it. I can't quite kick it. I did take a COVID test, negative, but I'm just, it's just lingering. I can't quite kick it.
Well, a lot of people are sick right now, right there, right on cue.
I always hit the Harry Carey imaginary cough button, because you know WGN had a cough button.
Of course they did.
And he would just, on the air.
We have cough buttons for the Cardinal games. I use it a lot. Need to.
Yeah. Jimmy, stay with me here.
Uh-huh.
Bring it back to the ball game.
bring it back to center.
I missed our great talk. I did.
Well, it was just about a week ago. You were doing the Men's Against Cancer Night, right?
Yeah, Thursday night. And you don't know this, but so Wednesday night, I wasn't feeling great. But I said, I told my wife, I'm going to go down to the office, sleep by myself. I'm going to get 10 blankets. Put the winter cap on, just kind of sweat it out. I'll feel fine. Take some NyQuil.
Wait a minute, you were going to sleep in the office?
Yeah, sweat it out. Just kind of like so I didn't get anybody else sick.
You were going to sleep in the office. What are you, Dick Vermeil?
No, I mean, at the house, downstairs.
Oh, okay, not at Fox 2.
No, I'm not, yes. Mandy Murphy walks in, Martin's like sound asleep on the floor.
All right. Well, I needed a clarification.
Okay, no, and not that Rich Gould would ever done that. But so at home, I was at home. In the office, I thought I'll isolate myself in case I am sick. I'll just feel better in the morning, so I'll sweat it out. But I'll tell you, you take that NyQuil, I would wake up like 2, 3 in the morning. I didn't know what planet I was on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I felt like I was Neil Young in the 70s writing albums.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where am I? But that Thursday, I said, I feel good enough to go host this event. I'm not terribly sick, but I was kind of losing my voice.
It's a big event.
And it's a big event. It's like 500 people, and they raise a ton of money. You got to be on your game. And I thought, boy, if I can't do it, who can? And I said, maybe Dan, maybe Carricker. I was making a list of, like, last second, like, who would bail me out.
I've done that a couple of nights.
You got to be able to call somebody.
Yep.
And I would do it for you or Randy, you know, last minute, because it sucks, because you know everybody's counting on you.
Yep.
And you can't just say, oh, my buddy Bill will do it. And if Bill sucks, then they're mad at you. So you
got
to have somebody in mind. But the event was great. I got up there. Felt pretty good, and I was thinking, it's a men's group, so you can kind of have fun. I know it's a more laid-back event.
But now they have ladies in the audience.
There are ladies there, for sure, so you can't go too far. But keep in mind, later that night, the speaker was Kelly Chase. So in hindsight, I kept it too clean by the time he got up there.
Did he let it rip?
He let it rip, telling stories from over the years, and there's F this and F that and S this and S that. I mean, nonstop. The Ritz may never be the same.
Was he funny?
He was funny, and great stories from over the years. But then when I got up there, I started, and it is one of my standard jokes. I say, hey, thanks so much for inviting me. When they called, I was honored. You know, I mean, an event like this, you could get Bob Casas or Joe Buck, and I actually said that, and they go, no, we called. They couldn't do it. Oh, Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. And then I said, Guy Phillips always hosts this. That's his event. He recommended me to them to fill in for him. He's in Vietnam. And I said, I'd like to speak for all of you who are thinking the same thing. So Guy Phillips, who was in high school in the 60s, now he fucking goes to Vietnam. Now he's on some kind of boat cruise or something. So I did use the F word there, and everybody laughed, and it was fine. But you never quite know when you can cross the line in terms of, you know, blue humor. But then Chaser's up there just killing it and swearing. And
yeah.
But the event itself involves also some tears. Families talk about losing kids at, you know,
a absolutely, yeah.
Lost their son at the age of 10. But because of that, they started a charity. And the Men's Cancer Group gives out checks all year to these different organizations. And some of them, it might be as simple as giving women that are going through breast cancer treatment, giving them rides to their treatment. And then they started, you know, the Pink Ribbon Group. I forget the names of some of them. But they play a video of all these different organizations that benefit, and it makes you feel great. And
yep.
So,
it's a wonderful event.
A lot of humor, and we just jacked around the whole time. And then I can't even repeat some of the stuff Chaser said later when he and I were doing I got up there. And
did you do like a Q&A with
him? We were scheduled to do a Q&A. But I got to say, Chaser was going and going. So I get up there, and I'm trying to decide in my – you know how you edit on the fly – doesn't matter what the script says.
I mean, you might just want to say, thanks, Kelly, and it's been a great night.
I was kind of thinking that because it had been a long night, a lot of fundraising. And I got up there and I said, hey, I don't know about you guys, but I could listen to Chaser talk all night. And I think we have.
Exactly.
And he's like, oh, really, asshole? I was like, so then I said, but thanks so much, great speech. And he said, on the stage, I thought we were doing Q&A. And I go, oh, you guys want a little Q&A? So we took a few questions. And, of course, the first one is, what's your favorite Hully on the Road story?
Oh, God.
And so then that led to some Hully-isms.
Yeah.
But it was great. They raised probably like $500,000.
Oh, yeah. They do an amazing job.
I mean, I've had to do auction items. We've talked about this where you're up there saying, hey, who wants a year's supply of car washers? You know, give me $100. Give me $200. They were giving people private jet flights to Sunday at the Masters.
Oh, wow.
I mean, big ticket items.
Yes.
In fact, at the end of that, one of the guys who bought it was talking to me after the event's over, and he said, now what is it you do? And this guy is about 40 years old, and he bought one of these Masters. He obviously got some money, and I thought, I wonder, and it's not an ego thing, but it made me wonder, like, who did he think I was as the host? Like, where did he think I came? He honestly said, now what is it you do?
You've been in this market for how many years? 25 years.
And I'm not offended. I'm just kind of surprised that if you're sitting there and there's a brochure, like for the event, like
Fox 2 sports director.
And I think I made a couple of TV jokes, and I was just wondering, like, in his mind, who did he think was up there hosting?
Right.
Like the valet? Like,
exactly.
Who did he think I was? But it was a great event. I'm glad. And I felt great. And then the next day, a little bit sickish again. Then Saturday, I felt great. Then Sunday.
But you had an event on Friday night, too.
No, did I?
Yeah, you had a get-together, you told me.
Oh, I went to a get-together. Yeah, it was with our buddy Fred from Marie de Villa. Marie de Villa Senior Living. Dan, they're at the corner of Clayton and Weidman Road. They've been there since 1960. But
scratch that one off.
Fred and his wife, Mary Kay, really are like festive people. And for about 3 years, he has said, hey, I want you and your wife to come over. You know how you got a million friends that are probably like, hey, we got to get together. We got to get together. So this has been in the works forever. And I was feeling okay, not great. My wife said, why don't you just tell him you're not feeling great? I said, no way. This is 3 years in the making.
Yeah, you got to do it.
But your buddy Rick Horton was there. Ken Daly was there. John Costello. A lot of former Cardinals. And it was nice. It was very low-key. It was great. I mean, happy hour-ish kind of thing. Home by about 9. And, you know, the whole time I kept thinking, boy, I really miss great talk. That's all I kept thinking about.
I understand that. We've got a big event. I don't know if it's gotten as much publicity as probably it should.
Oh, the soccer game?
The soccer game tonight. I mean, this is a new era in sports. I mean, if you're a sports fan, this is a big deal tonight. I guess
Was that what you were talking about? I was being funny. When you said we got a big event, were you talking about the soccer?
What were you thinking?
I thought you had like a fundraiser coming up you were going to mention.
No, I don't have a
fundraiser.
Oh,
you were talking
yet
about the soccer.
Yeah.
I was trying to be a jackass and interject.
Well, you always are a jackass.
Okay, so that you really were talking about the soccer.
Yeah, I was transitioning.
Oh, sorry. You can clean that. Willie, will you fix that later?
Candidly. this is kind of a big deal, man. Not kind of. This is a huge deal.
Yeah.
But I guess it's going to be a bigger deal when you kick off the actual season to MLS. But you're opening up a brand new stadium. The place will be packed. You've got kind of the opening of a lot of bars and restaurants that maybe people aren't used to or they know, like Maggie O'Brien's and Shafley downtown. They've redone all that stuff through the pandemic because they knew this was coming. All those, you know, just that area, that little corridor of the west part of downtown near SLU. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be neat tonight to have an actual soccer game at night where people that have been waiting for this for so many years, and it's well overdue to have this part of the country that should have had soccer for a long time now finally gets it, and it's well overdue, and I think it's going to be really cool tonight. I think it's going to be fun.
It's a beautiful stadium. I've only been in it one time, but to see it full of people, to see an actual match play, Dan, it's called a match. It's not a game just for anybody.
I know.
And it is. You didn't say it wrong. I'm just reminding everyone, and it's the pitch. It's not the field.
I know.
But I can't wait to be down there to see it, and I've heard people say, well, that's not going to fix downtown. I understand, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
Nope.
I hate the people who just knock everything. I'm like, hey, it's an attempt. We still got a lot of problems. Still got to work on all of downtown. But that was a dead zone there. You go from the Arch and you got Busch Stadium, then you get up a little ways towards Union Station, Enterprise Center, and then there wasn't really a whole lot there. There just wasn't. We used to all hang out at Harry's back in the day, and that was about it. And Harry's had the great, you know, back patio. It really didn't overlook anything.
No.
But an empty highway exit that nobody used. So it's great to have it. I can't wait. You're right. When they have the actual first game, that'll be a big deal too. But
yeah.
I also think they almost probably need to, for their own sake, like a tune-up of sort, kind of a test run.
Yeah, just soft opening.
Yeah, just kind of see how it goes. You know, how
for sure.
I mean, they've done all of their hard work and all of their marketing and testing, but they probably are curious too to see
how do
people get in and out? How do the concessions go?
There's going to be some blips. There's no doubt about
complaints.
It. Yeah, for sure.
People will be on Yelp as soon as the first half ends complaining, but it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see that venue. And I think moving forward, maybe you've got the state soccer championships being played there. Maybe
yes.
I'm not telling them to have a rock concert, but there's a lot of different things that may fall into that venue, which will be great.
Well, that's what now I think when people, if you own teams, yeah, the centerpiece is a pro franchise of baseball, football, you know, whatever, basketball, hockey, now soccer. But really the venue is a year-round venue for so many other things that you bring in. So in this case, it's international soccer. I think to your point, it's high school, it's college. You're bringing in everything that you can get your hands on to make sure that you use the venue. And the other thing is, I'll use my son as a great example, but he's practicing down there. He gets to practice on those fields. He thinks it's the coolest thing ever. And when I got involved to try to bring soccer to St. Louis, it was
like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You were really advocating because
yes.
the Taylor family was trying to bring it back from the dead.
Yes, and it was for a lot of tentacles for me on a personal level. One was, I always tell the story, was that at Christmas, my son got a Todd Gurley jersey and they were leaving and he was in tears, my oldest. I had never seen my son cry. Even as a baby, he rarely cried. So he was really emotional about the whole thing. He didn't understand it. He was upset. Now he's a high school kid. He doesn't care. You know, it's like whatever. But now my other son loves soccer and he plays at a high level. And now to see him be able to take part and play down there and practice down there, how cool is that? It's come full circle for me on that level. But then as a citizen of St. Louis and being born and raised here and to see what this can do for the city and to see how many people enjoy it, this is awesome. This is great. This is what we all wanted. And it's only going to get bigger and better because the sport is growing by leaps and bounds. And I do follow it. And I see what MLS is doing and how much it means to these communities and how big it's growing. I mean, it is growing faster than any other sport. It's incredible how quickly it's growing. And the television ratings prove that. So this is going to be something that people really get into, and I think they're going to love it. It'll be a full experience. Like when you go down there on a game day, that is a full experience that people will really enjoy. And that's what I can't wait to see.
And I think that area is still being sort of developed around it.
For sure.
You're right, Schlafly, our buddy Eddie over at Maggie O'Brien's, they shut down for like 4 months. and gave it a whole refurbish, and they're going to be right across the street.
Oh, yeah.
They're in a great spot. I remember Dan being on Fox 2, and I think we, under his name, instead of Cardinal Broadcaster, under your name, I think we just put Soccer Lobbyist.
Yes.
Dan's got a briefcase. He's going down to Jefferson City. Hello, attention, Your Honor, Alderman. I would like to thank you for having me, but it is hard to believe that there was even a fight, and there was, with City Hall to get it done. Because the Taylor family was basically saying, we'll pay for basic.
We're funding this.
We're paying for everything. Is there some stuff the city might have to kick in here or there or grant us this land? I had forgotten how much of a battle it was, even with the Taylor family behind it.
The Taylors have done so much for this city outside of soccer. Now, that's the centerpiece now with what they're doing just because it gets so much publicity. But you think of, like, the War Memorial, where people have done Arch Grounds, Forest Park Forever.
They write some big checks.
Oh, my goodness.
And they can, but they do.
That's right. And they could take Enterprise and say, you know what, we don't really want to be headquartered here anymore. It might be beneficial to go leave this town. They could do that in a heartbeat. And
right.
They don't. I mean, they're just really good people. And that's just the stuff that's public. Now, I'm telling you, Martin, the stuff that's private and what they do for education and for inner-city kids is remarkable. Like, it's unbelievable. And how much this is going to help, you know, with what they've done with, like, Matthews Dickey and trying to get those kids playing the sport, it's pretty cool, man. And I'm just so thankful to have been a very, very small piece to help them. And I just think a lot of kids are going to benefit from it. And ultimately, all of us will. Whether you like the sport or not, it's still, like you said, is it going to fix all our problems? No. Is it going to be a small piece or maybe a bigger piece in trying to help our community? Absolutely. It's going to be fun. And tonight is going to be something that people enjoy.
I think their demographic, the MLS, is younger, it's diverse, and the reason that that should matter to people listening is those are the kind of people that will live downtown.
And invest in that downtown
and
area.
And I always say, they're the ones on their laptops drinking coffee, and they're working from their laptop. You want those people downtown. That's what it looks like when you go into Chicago or you go to Nashville.
That's right.
You have people listening, hey, I got my family, I live in West County. That's great. You want the MLS demographic. You want that young crowd that's going to be hanging out downtown, spending a little money. If you don't spend any money, you don't have any tax revenue, there's no more cops, you got nothing. So I love their demographic. And then to the Taylor family, to your point, I've told this story, but Our Little Haven, folks I've known for a long time, they run this great organization helping kids. It started, and it sounds crude now, but remember when crack babies were a thing and these babies were being born, the mothers were addicted to crack, and they're basically at the hospital with nowhere to go. Our Little Haven provided like a place for these babies to go, and now they do foster programs, all kinds of kids care. But they were contacted, this is years ago, by the Taylor Philanthropic, the Enterprise Philanthropic
Wing.
Which
is what Carolyn was running.
And they basically said, hey, we've heard a lot about your organization. We're going to send in an auditor to look at all your books. Is that okay? And they said, please, yeah, go ahead. And then they don't hear anything for a while. And then all of a sudden, Scott Hummel, he and his wife, Kathleen, have run Our Little Haven since day one. He almost starts crying when he tells the story. But they get a call, and they said, okay, the Enterprise family or the Taylor family, the Enterprise Foundation would like to donate $1 million to you guys.
Wow.
And they're like, excuse me, what? And they said, all we need is for you to talk to Mr. Taylor. Now, this is Andy's dad, who has since passed. I'm forgetting his name. Jack Taylor, the famous, the founder of all of it. They said, all he asks is, can he give you a call? And they're like, sure. And so Jack Taylor, who I guess for years kept an office in Clayton, he called and he just said, hey, how are you, Scott? I've heard great things about what you guys are doing or whatever. And he said, I just want to know, tell me how that will help you guys. Like, what can you do? Is there a school bus you can get rid of? Is there a heating system you replace? It's all he wanted.
Isn't that amazing?
All he wanted to know is, like, what are we able to help? We're giving you the money. We're happy for you guys. Tell me how it helps. And I thought, that is the coolest thing.
Isn't that amazing?
If you had $1 billion, I'd like to think that's how I would be. Like, I want to help people, but I just kind of want to know, how did it help?
Yeah, how's it going to be used? That's the one thing I think people say, well, you can donate, but people want to know, like, they want to have a tangible feel of where the money's going to go. Like, I want to feel it. I want to know exactly where my dollars are being spent. That's okay.
And that's why the charity events will play videos. Sometimes it's a tug at your hearts. I get it, to raise more money. But a lot of times you might have been invited to an event or you've gone.
I always do that at my events.
Well, and then they say, well, okay, here's, and they basically, the other night, they played the video of all these different cancer groups that benefit and saying, here's what we do.
Right.
I just love that story. The old man, I'm sure he was 90 at the time.
He's probably got worth, he's in the billions.
In the billions, and just said, hey, he's going to call you. Take his call. They're like, sure.
Yes. That's so awesome.
That's the kind of stuff they have done for years. And that wasn't on TV. That wasn't in the paper.
I had never met Carolyn, and when I decided to get involved, I felt like I would like to think that you and I have a really good idea of how to help promote, because we're in this side of media, and I just felt like they weren't getting their message out. And so when I learned about what they were doing, I didn't think that they were getting the message out enough that here's this plot of land, hasn't drawn a cent of tax money. They're going to basically fund this, and on the back end, if you invested, so the investment from the community is when you buy a ticket, a portion of the money out of the ticket goes back into the city. So it's those that support coming down there. That's where your tax dollars essentially are coming from.
Right. They're generating tax.
Exactly.
To pay for what they're doing.
Exactly. Right. That's how it works. And I was like, really? That's how this thing is
working? You
were
like that Steve Kornacki. I remember you had a grease board, and you were wearing khakis. And you were right. In front of City Hall.
And I was like, wait a minute. And that's how this works? And they're like, yeah. And I met with Tom Strunk. I met with Jim Cavanaugh. And I kind of hounded Jim Cavanaugh. I got his number. I was like, Jim, I really want to meet with you. You know, I think I can help get the word out with this. And I think they were a little bit like, why does he want to do this? And it really came from my hatred of what happened with the Ram situation. Sure. I was pissed. I was like, we need to pick ourselves up as a community and do something. Like, we've really got to do something. We can't let this be a continuous stain on our community. Like, we've got to do something. If we're going to live here, we can't just keep getting kicked in the gut. And we have people that are willing to do this. They've got the pockets, the deep pockets to do it. And I'll be damned if they didn't do it. And that to me is just amazing that they stepped up and have done it, and it's really a celebration of what's happening tonight.
And you channeled all of that anger that you had, Dan. You put it into a positive. But it's the same thing as the lawsuit, I feel, where we could just sit around and say, oh, well, we got screwed. We got screwed. Or you can say, you know what, we're moving forward. MLS is growing. Hey, Nashville wants it. Austin, Texas wants it. These are big happening cities that are progressive, that are changing. We could sit around and say, oh, I wish we were like Austin. I wish we were like that. Get a team. Charlotte got a team. So you could either do something about it or cry about it. The lawsuit. Oh, we got run over by Goodell and Kroenke and all these thieves. Let's do something about it. That's why I'll never complain about the lawyers' fees.
Me neither. They stepped up and did it.
And nobody else was saying, hey, we'll take this on. We'll fight the big bully that is the NFL. We're going to go for it. We're not getting paid until we get a settlement. And they went for it and created something out of nothing. So both of those, to me, are examples of don't just lay on the couch and cry about it. Get up and do something.
So I'm really fascinated by what they do with that money on a separate issue. I really do hope they put it in some type of escrow account that just continues to draw on the interest, but yet goes into the community with that interest of the money that is going into some type of community program that is sports related but yet educationally developed. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but does something with like a Matthews Dickey. Like, let's develop some type of program inner city wise that does help kids. I don't know what it is. I don't know enough about it, but does help the community. Take $10 million a year. Certainly you can draw $10 million interest off that a year. I mean, that's on the small end, and do something right with that.
And Dave Spence, who's part of the RSA, they've been proposing similar ideas. Like, what I would love in the city,
and I'd love to see it have some type of name that always references.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think they should call it the NFL Fund. And we're always reminding everyone,
yes,
the NFL paid for this. The NFL paid for
this. It has to have that kind of name.
The NFL Fund just gave Matthews Dickey $10 million. The NFL Fund just built a new city school downtown.
NFL,
just keep hammering the fact that these SOPs are paying for this.
I think it was with you, and I thought it was a valid point that Frank Favorito made, in which he went through the numbers of what the dome cost, the years that the Rams were here, the fact that you did get a Super Bowl, the amount of money that was generated over the time frame that the Rams were here. I mean, it's somewhat of a justification of what happened for the time being that they were here. It doesn't make it right. It still is tough to take. Every Sunday I watch the NFL, and I'm watching it more and more now that they're gone. And I find myself kind of like it was.
You say you would never watch again?
Yeah. I was one of those.
By the way, Scoops does not have a cough button. Otherwise, I'd be hitting the cough button.
When the Cardinals left, I was a big, big Red fan. I didn't watch the NFL for a while. Found myself watching again.
It's hard to avoid it on a Sunday.
It is. And I'm watching it again because my kids watch it. My son, my oldest watches it all the time because he plays a lot of fantasy, and so is my little guy. So I find myself watching it. But it is still, it's a reminder that I do miss it. I do miss not having a team. It is. I just miss not having a team.
I think Viverito's math was the dome cost $250 million to build. And he said, here we are 20-plus years later. We went a settlement for three times that. And it was. I mean, whether the lawyers got the money or not, the league wrote a check for $790 million. So that was three times what we spent on the dome. Plus, you got two decades of NFL, most of it bad, some of it good, and some great memories mixed in. So, like, in the end, was it worth it? Sure. Of course it was.
Right.
Dan, I can't wait for February.
Baseball?
No.
Warm weather?
Well, warm weather. But think about it. Usually February doesn't sound exciting. You're going to have the Battle Hawks, the Billikens, the Blues, and MLS all up and rolling. And for the Billikens, it should be a tournament push at that point.
Did you watch much of the game last night?
Yes, for quite a bit. And I was just so afraid it was going to be like the Auburn game last year.
We had a
great setting. Big lead, and then all of a sudden you wilt. But, hey, they got it done. They beat Memphis. It is a fun team to watch. I did a commentary on TV the other night, and I never tell people how to spend their money or what to do, but I'm always frustrated that the Billikens can't quite
get over the hump.
Yeah, just and as a crowd, too, not just the program, but down, you know, St. Louis fans just don't go. And basketball is plenty popular around town.
It's interesting. Somebody told me the other day, they said, do you feel like – basketball in our town doesn't start until conference play? And I said, man, that's kind of an interesting way to put it, because you had Memphis in town last night. Pretty good crowd, really electric atmosphere. And I've seen crowds with the Billikens, especially like in the Spoon era, where he had it rolling. It was 18,000 there always.
Yep.
You know, so I don't feel that way all the time. I think with this venue that if he really gets it rolling, and he's got a chance, because this team is a veteran team, and last night is a game that he would lose the last couple of years, and he didn't, then I think if he gets it rolling, starts out, let's say, and their non-conference is really tough. Let's say he starts out 5-0 or 6-0, that place is going to be packed every night.
I hope so.
And the other key to the season is that Yuri Collins has got to be healthy. If he's not on the floor, they're a different team. He is such a good player, man. Holy smokes, is he a good player.
Did you see the story last night where he checked himself back in? Like, he was on the bench. I think Stu Durando tweeted it after the game. There was a moment where Yuri's on the bench. There's a bad turnover. And Collins just runs to the bench.
I didn't see that.
He runs to check himself. I didn't see it either, but I read about it. He ran to the
scores table
to check himself in. And I guess after the game, Travis said, well, I would have sent him in anyway. But, yeah, he did that on his own. Basically put himself back in the game.
He
I love
is such
it.
A good player, man.
And so and here's the thing at St. Mary's that people forget. He was the assist machine and all of that. But then his senior year, if you go back and look, he had to become the scorer.
Yeah.
And I think he had playoff games in the 40s, like crazy. Like, so he could score if he wants to. And
yeah.
You saw that against Memphis, 22 points. So what a dynamic player.
He is. I see stretches, though. So I was talking to Travis the other day. He's going to play 35 out of 40 minutes. And what do they do in the 5 minutes when he's out of the game? So is it Fred Thatch? You know, he can run the point. Do you have Sincere Parker? They're going to probably go like four guys and a big, and that's Forrester or Okoro. And you just got to find 5 minutes that they can handle when he's not on the floor. And that's going to be tough.
Too bad they don't still have four corners. Remember that?
Yes.
North Carolina would
just hold the ball, stretch the possessions, you know. But he's so good defensively, too.
Yeah.
He shuts down everybody. So I don't know, man. They're a fun team to watch, and he's a fun player to watch. And they can get into stretches where I think they're going to blow out some teams because they can shoot, especially if Jimmerson gets hot. So you can be down, like they could be down by six, and all of a sudden it's two possessions, you're tied. Then they go on a run, 9-0 run, all of a sudden you're up by nine. You know what I mean? They've got that kind of offense too, where they can go real quickly and make a swing. And that's why they're fun to watch.
We scored 90 against Memphis, and Perkins didn't do anything. I mean,
that's right.
And I think he's still kind of easing his way back.
He's not 100%.
And he had the ankle problem during camp, I think. So he was already coming back from the knee injury, and then he hurts his ankle. So I think maybe by conference play is when you'll see
mid-December,
him.
Mid-December, I would say.
Kind of see him back to being himself. But you scored 90 against Memphis without Javonte Perkins lighting it up, which is impressive.
I think they're going to be good. Blues,
Well, but they turned it around. I mean, they weren't as bad as they looked.
I'm back on the Blues, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm doing some Blues hockey.
Are you?
On TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You and Bernie?
Bernard.
Up in the... Thank you, Bernard. Good to be here.
Bernard, what'd you see there?
Jonathan, thanks for having us today. That's a whole other deal.
I love doing the Blues.
Oh, it's fun.
I did the Blues for so many years.
My kids, when they go to a game...
I love doing
that. And I love the Cardinals. You know that. And I love going to games, but the kids are more interested in going to a Blues game than a Cardinals game. My kids just love that atmosphere.
It's 2.5 hours. It's fast.
Yeah, it's just lively. And I love baseball. Kids will always be, I'll drag their asses there the rest of my life, Dan. But the Blues games are fun. So I'll look forward to seeing you and Bernard down there.
So, all right, wrap it up with baseball here. MVP announced tomorrow. Goldie?
Yeah, I think so. And
all
this, and not that it's a surprise, but he won the Hank Aaron, six of the last seven on the Hank Aaron, won the MVP. He was the MVP. I know he faded in September, but he's the MVP.
But I think, though,
how good was he that he could fade a little bit and his numbers were still crazy good?
Well, that's the thing. I think when we watched him up close and he faded down the stretch, because we see him every day, people are like, uh-oh, is he not going to win the MVP? Where if you're not watching him every day, you're not seeing him have an 0-for-4. You know what I mean? It's
right.
He's still top three in batting average. He still was top whatever in slug and OPS and all this other stuff. And so when you're voting on it, I think people just looked at the whole body of work and said, he just had a phenomenal year. And so I just think that that's why he'll be the MVP.
Yeah, I think for sure. And Arenado's a final three. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I think that's what we'll dig deep into this, I'm sure, at some point, Dan. But if I'm John Mozeliak, I can't expect both those guys to roll out that same year next year. I got to augment that lineup because it's going to be hard pressed to be that good again, both of them at the same time.
What would you do if you're Mo? I mean, everybody's talking about it in town. If you listen to talk radio at any point in time, a sports radio, everybody is talking about it is amazing. Like you have all these different things that you just mentioned in sports, and at least once an hour, people are talking about the Cardinals still.
Oh, for sure.
It's crazy. I mean, it's such a baseball town in so many ways. And people are like, well, I'd go out and get a swing and miss starter. I'd go out and get the catcher, which I think they have to get a catcher. I'd go out and get two more relievers. I'd have Walker break camp out of spring training. I would do that. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people talk Cardinal baseball.
For sure.
So you're sitting
Well, and you have some exciting options, too. I mean, you have money to spend, and you do have Jordan Walker, and you got a pretty good team to build around, but you got to do something.
Well, I hope I don't get sick from you this.
Candidly, Dan.
It's Willie's fault.
We just wear an extra scarf to the soccer game. Well, I was planning on it. People wear scarves to soccer games
in
July.
Yes, they do.
Do I need to wear a scarf tonight?
Yes.
Because it's cold or because I'm a
soccer
guy?
So do you get a press box that's enclosed?
I have not been to the press box. I will check that out this evening. I'll give you a full report next week.
Do you do a live shot from the field?
I think we're outside at 5 and then inside at 6, but I don't know. Probably on the field at 6. Excuse me.
The pitch.
The pitch. Oh, I'm so sorry. The pitch. And it's 2-0? No, it's 2-0.
So
I'm learning, Dan.
So
I'm
if
learning.
You're Mo, do you...
Well, I've got a scarf on as we speak, Dan. Maybe that means I'm ready to spend.
Do you spend...
Maybe I'm just going to the mall at Frontenac. We can spend later.
What would you do?
You know, the Trey Turner thing doesn't seem like something they would do.
You got Mason Wynn coming.
Yeah, and you got Edmund there for now. I still think, though, I would want to spend, and I understand that he made it sound like pitching was a priority, and you can never have enough, but it is kind of crowded right now. Unless you move a piece, I could see them trying to bring Quintana back, but then you've got...
You got to get a catcher. You have to.
All right, but I don't know who's, like, does Contreras putting a bunch of money on him? I don't know if I want to do that.
I'd be fine with that.
Trade for Murphy, maybe.
I think money's just money, though.
Right.
They, you know, you think about...
Spend the money, don't spend the prospect.
Exactly.
I agree with that. But you've got a lot of... The only tricky part, I think, is what do you have in Carlson? Well, it's too soon to decide. What do you have in Gorman? Too soon to decide. What do you have in O'Neill? Too soon to say for sure. So you kind of have a few pieces there that might be everyday players, but I'm not sure entirely where I'm putting them.
I think I've seen enough with Walker that I might break camp with him. Instead of going out and getting one piece to protect Arenado and Goldie, I'm looking at maybe adding a bat. It doesn't have to be an outfielder. It could be a DH. And I'm saying maybe it's multiple pieces that protect my lineup, you know?
So I think that's where you're spending your money is
so Contreras,
a little bit of offense.
Yeah, Contreras is there. That's a piece. Walker's a piece. O'Neill's coming back. It's got to be the final time I'm giving him a shot. I mean, he's missed almost, I think, in the last 3 or 4 years of full season being on the IL. That's right. a lot of time missed.
No, I know. It's frustrating.
I believe in Dylan Carlson. I just think that the drop that he had, there had to be something there. You don't drop that far at his age, that young, and say, well,
You're saying maybe he wasn't 100%
correct.
Or something.
There had to be something there. I thought his swings at the end of the year from the left side of the plate were better, that it was probably something physically related there that maybe we don't know about. It just didn't make sense. His swings in the last 10 days were like he was aggressive. The swings I saw the majority of the year from the left side were just like almost looked like a guy just trying to put it in play. It didn't seem – that's not the player that we saw the year before. So I just don't buy into that's the guy that I'm going to get next year. If I get the guy that I saw 2 years ago, now that's a different player.
Why don't we invite Mo in for a great talk? He could come by the Scoops headquarters.
I would love that.
We'd have to clean it up a little bit here, Dan.
I don't think so.
Actually, the scarf is out. I just noticed the city scarf.
Yeah, that's part of the...
ensemble there, the studio, as it were.
Yeah.
The studio's here.
It's a beautiful studio.
Dan, did you know we were in the Pasta House Studios?
I did not realize that.
Did you know Sunday, kids eat free? You should take your boys up there.
Kids, I need to.
Kids eat free on Sundays at the Pasta House.
And we're not far from one up by Olive.
Yeah, it's a great spot. In fact, Carson and I filmed one of our segments.
I saw that on Twitter.
Baseball and meatballs. We had a little post-game breakdown there.
And you said people were kind of questioning you?
What we were doing. Like a kid was being held hostage. He was blinking during the interview. Save me. Pasta House Studios, Dan, my great sponsors, you know all about them. Triad Bank, friend of the show.
Yep.
Appliance.
Jim
Regna, the CEO, went to Rosary. Remember Rosary High School?
I didn't know he went to Rosary.
You didn't?
No.
Rosary then merged with Mercy and Aquinas, and it became Trinity. Remember that? All of that.
Did that go into Vianney?
Trinity just went away, so I'm not sure. I don't know, Dan. I'm not sure. But B&G Tuck Pointing, waterproofing, foundation repair, all of that, bgtuckpointing.com. We got all the great sponsors here, Dan.
Mark Milton, we were talking about SLU. If you have IRS issues, you got to call Mark Milton. Any kind of tax issues. And Mark went to St. Louis University Law School. Remember, the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely on advertisement. Stratum Structural Systems, any kind of water issues in your basement, Stratum Repair. .com. I am a little concerned about your health at this point, which means I'm concerned about now my
your
health.
Own health. I
yes.
know. I don't feel.
No, you don't feel fine. I can tell.
I feel okay, but I did take a COVID test negative, so there is that. But the radio producer I've been working with, he's got the flu, so there is that. You know what I'll do, Dan? I'll get out of here.
Well,
it's too late now, candidly.
We have a lot of kids, and I refer to them as Petri dishes.
Yes.
They bring a lot of stuff home. You look great, though. I mean, you look
if people
flush,
can see me,
you look great.
I got to go home and clean up. I've got an interview with Carolyn Kindle. I got to clean up.
What time is that, Ed?
It's at like 10:50. I got
to
go.
Oh, yeah, you do have to go. Okay.
Great talk.
I'm going to get this out. This was a hell of a talk. It had never been the first time ever. Hell of a talk.